This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm very, very happy to be with you today. You know I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. You know, we've got these phone lines open for you, and why do we do that? Because we want to have holy conversation with you. So I always encourage you at the top of the hour and several times through the course of the hour to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. We love, love, love to know what's going on in your world, how the Lord is impacting your life, the various lessons that you've learned through time, all of that, prayer requests. I just could go on and on about all of the things we love to hear from you. But let me just tell you, we're interested in all of it. So please do give us a call here. We've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. I want to talk with you today. I don't know what you think about all that, but I'll tell you, it tickles me pink, as you can hear, because I'm laughing. So anyway, we want you to call us. We're also available for you out there in social media land. Simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and I will be sure to take it, and we'll respond to you via the airwaves here. But you know, I love to hear from you by phone, so do call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I like to slow it down for you a little bit every once in a while, but I get so excited. Sometimes it comes out of my mouth really fast. You know, I'm just back from Arizona. We were out there for the family celebration, and it was preceded by the radio conference. And oh my goodness, my heart and my mind is so full. My heart is full because I had an opportunity to see so many of our affiliate managers who were there sharing this time with us. And, you know, I haven't seen them. It's been 3 years, I guess. You know, we missed the last event. So all of that being said, you know, it was just dandy to see all of you. If you're listening, it was just a sheer pleasure. I had a chance to talk to so many of you. Others I didn't get an opportunity to talk to. I want to thank you for carrying Women of Grace Live on your radio station. Just enjoyed the whole time that we spent together. We had a beautiful day out at Tonopah, which is out in the desert. We were at a shrine of Our Lady of Solitude there. And this is a branch, if I want to call it this, of the monastery and the foundation that Mother Angelica began here in Irondale, Alabama. As you know, it moved out to Hansville some years ago. And of course, the beautiful shrine of the Blessed Sacrament is there for you to enjoy and to visit. I do want to recommend that you do that. But out there in Tonopah, these beautiful sisters who branched off from Mother's, at Mother's direction, guidance, and desire, have founded this beautiful monastery. And we spent the day there, day of prayer. We had the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, obviously. We had adoration. We had time for confession. We prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. Father John Paul Mary Zeller preached a beautiful, beautiful teaching to us. I had an opportunity to address everybody as well. And it was just marvelous. Then the family celebration began on Friday, and we went through, that was Friday for some special little things. But then we start, actually Friday was radio conference as well. And it was the business portion of that. We got started Saturday morning with the family celebration, which was quite lovely. Just enjoyed seeing so many people that turned out, my goodness sakes. And you know, there was such a sense of a fraternity there, you know what I mean? Brotherly love, that filial affection that we feel for each other as brothers and sisters in our Lord. And I got to talk with so many people. I enjoyed speaking with each and every one of you. And I carried you into my Eucharist, and you know, you're in my heart. I'll be praying for you, and I do ask that you pray for me. We heard wonderful talks, wonderful testimonies by many people, and we enjoyed every bit of that. It was just a delightful day in the Lord. It closed with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we were on a plane yesterday morning, and we arrived home early evening yesterday, and here we are on the air today. So, you know, eager to hear from you. If you were at the event, why not call and share with us about it, right? On Friday, when I did the live show from the Phoenix Convention Center, you know, we had been on that day of retreat the day before, and I asked you to call in with perhaps a testimony about a time when you were on retreat and how that affected you. And lots of you called in, and I couldn't get to all of you. So call in again. I want to hear about those moments of retreat that you had where the Lord worked powerfully in you. I'll tell you, the Lord worked powerfully in me on our day of retreat there at Tonopah, and following after that as well at the family celebration, and then even on the plane flying home yesterday, I had an absolutely wonderful, glorious time of prayer on the plane flying back. That often happens. You know, plane rides for me are like little oratories in the sky. And I just had it was just quite a tremendous moment in prayer. So, you know, we want to hear about your experiences that way, what it is that God's doing in you. And as you share your testimony, the thing that happens is that, you know, we begin to feel the presence of the living God with us as well. So your testimony, most powerful way of evangelization is through testimony. Your testimony does much to build up body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. That's you and that's me and that's all of us together. And we need to hear those words, especially when we are going through the contentious times that we're going through, especially as we're experiencing this topsy-turvy world in which we live. And you know, this is not a fun topsy-turvy kind of a thing. We are taking everything that is good, true, and beautiful, and we're standing it on its head. We're inverting truth, right? And what's replacing it? The occult is replacing it. The New Age is replacing it. Secular humanism is replacing it. And idolatry towards self is replacing it. And we need to hear all of the ways in which our God wants to interact in our lives, and we hear that through you. So I'm going to give you just a little teaching really, really fast here before we go to break. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'd love to share. I just don't think I could do it because I really don't know how. Well, I'm going to tell you. There's a beautiful little formula that you can use to structure a testimony around. And this was given to me by Tom Curran many years ago, sitting on the set of The Abundant Life. He said this. He said, form your testimony around these three aspects. I was, Jesus did, I am. I was this, Jesus entered into my life for today, because we're talking about retreats, or anything about what you experienced at the family celebration. Jesus did this. And then now I am. So you can talk, you know, just share with us about what you thought about the family celebration, what impacted you on a retreat in your life. We want to hear about it. Speaking of retreats, we're having one that's coming up this coming Saturday, and it's going to be a retreat on the rosary. I started to unpack this at the family celebration, but there's more to come on this beautiful, beautiful online event that we are going to be having this weekend, Saturday, October the 8th, 10 a.m. Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern. We're inviting you to join us. It's basically a free, for donation only, retreat. So go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and sign up for it. We just had somebody that was calling in about a prayer request for the hurricane. Please call me back on that prayer request. We'll take prayer requests, and yes, we're going to pray for all of those who suffered the ravages of Ian last week. Right here, we are with you, Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Use the chat feature. Coming right back, stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today, fresh back from Phoenix, Arizona, where we were at the family celebration for EWTN. It was the 2022 edition of that beautiful time in the Lord. Inviting you to call us if you were there to share your thoughts, what it was that impacted you about that great event that took place there. We had the radio conference prior to that too. Wouldn't mind a call from someone that was in attendance there just to hear what you have to say about it. And also just a general question, you know, about a time when a retreat really impacted your life. We began that discussion last Friday and I had so many calls, we couldn't get to all of them. So I'm inviting you to give us a call back today so that we can take it. We have Matt Gubensky on the phones. He was out there with us. Yep. I'm happy he's back in the saddle here in Birmingham, Alabama. We have Rich Jesse in today producing Fort Jeff Burson. We're happy always to have Rich with us. And, you know, we invite you to be with us as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call here. It's toll-free for you in North America. Also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we look forward to having you call us or contact us rather via that means as well, and we'll take your information. We had Trey who called in, and he was with us for a little bit, and he was asking for prayer for all of those who experienced the ravages of Ian over this past weekend, or last week rather. And we know it was very, very devastating. And I have to tell you, Trey, and all of you listening today, that it's very heavy on my heart for all of the loss of life, obviously, most importantly, that Ian perpetrated, as well as all of the property damage and the homes now that are gone, and the beaches, the way in which they were just absolutely assailed by this huge, enormous storm all the way up through the state of Florida, and then on from Florida up into the southern states, just really, what do I want to say, seething in a sense, and just expressing its wrath in so many ways. And so we do come before you, Lord, in this moment. And Father God, we just lift up to you all of those individuals who lost their lives as a result of Hurricane Ian. Father God, I pray that they were readied for you, that even in the moment before their soul separated from their body, they had an opportunity to say yes to you, to look at you and to see your merciful countenance, knowing that there was a far better life that was waiting for them than the one that they were experiencing the loss of. Father, we know that being outside of time and space, you can take the prayers that we pray in time and apply them to that moment. And so we pray that our prayer for them at this moment is efficacious for them. We pray, Father God, that you would have mercy on them. And we pray, Father God, that you would bring consolation and solace to their loved ones who remain. Father, we look at the devastation of Ian with regard to the change, really, of the shape of Florida as a result of this, the way in which it bore down upon the coastline. We pray for the loss of property, Lord, many people now without a home and homeless. We watched, Lord, as good men and women went in and rescued so many, and we saw homes that were now reduced to sticks and to collapsed walls and to shingles floating on water's top. Father, we also saw the way in which so many of the businesses were decimated as a result of Ian. And Father, we know that it's going to take time to restore what the locust of Ian has eaten. And we pray for wisdom and for guidance. We pray for all of those emergency workers and first responders who are caring for these people now. We offer thanksgiving for their self-sacrifice, Father. And we offer thanksgiving for family and friends who have taken the homeless in, Lord. I ask, Father God, that through this horrible experience that we have shared together as a people, that we would find there your presence, and that would we would be open and receptive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit for what it is that you want to teach us through this. That nothing in this life is lasting. That all will be reduced to rubble. And that the only thing that truly matters is our relationship with you. Father, we are comforted by the words, knowing that you do not send a test to any of us for which you do not provide a way out. There is a way out, Lord. And the way out always comes through the application of redemptive grace and our cooperation with that grace in moments of great testing, as well as in moments that are filled with joy. Father, help us to see and to perceive that indeed all of us will one day die, and we will be judged, and we will receive our eternal reward or our eternal punishment. Father, help us to acknowledge this. Father, help us to see too that these storms are the result of the residue of original sin, that the disorder and the chaos that we see in these storms comes by way of sin. And not only the residual effects of original sin, but also the effect of the sins that your people are committing. The nefarious ways of our contemporary times. That creation cannot stand up underneath this kind of chaos, and that chaos becomes expressed. And so it is, Father, that we ask that you would forgive us for our sins. We come before you now as a repentant people, seeking only your divine and holy mercy. And just a word, Father, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, individuals listening today who have not been to the sacrament of reconciliation in a very long time would turn back to you, would come to those healing waters, and be made whole, that a process of restoration and renewal might be rebuilt within them. And you know, what I'm seeing right now, friends, is yes, this horrible travesty that we've all experienced, this misery that's been caused by Ian, in some way, is an indication of the ravages of sin. That in the same way as we see the destruction caused by this hurricane, in that same way does sin cause destruction within us, reducing our relationship with God to rubble, tearing asunder that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful. And the greater the sin, the worse the destruction. So I would encourage you to sit with the Lord today, to express a deep desire to return to Him, and that you would follow through with the action that is necessary by receiving His love and His mercy through the sacrament, the healing sacrament of reconciliation. And Father, if we take just this one lesson, just this one insight from what's been experienced, then Father God, we will be able to rejoice in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the sadness, in the midst of the suffering. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So there you have it, friends. You see, God is always speaking to us. He really is. He's always speaking to us. And what we need to have is the spiritual ears to hear what he's saying and to apply it to our own lives. And to find in the realities of everyday life that journey that Jesus is taking us on in that moment. And to place our confidence and our assurance in him. I want to go to Bob. Bob is in Springfield, Massachusetts today, and we're looking forward to hearing from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Hey, top of the morning to you. I really enjoyed your comments at the convention. I'm not Catholic. I love the Catholic faith. And you just, like, were hit it out of the park. I mean, the Holy Spirit was so alive in your writings. And it was just a fresher. It was just amazing and just so refreshing to hear those words. And I love the Catholic faith, but I have a friend who's Catholic and gone to church and many events with her. And it's a true church, but I know it's a suffering church. And I know one of the speakers talked about what are the issues with the Catholic Church. And as more of a Protestant, I see it as, you know, the manifestation of Jesus in their lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have the sacraments that the Protestants need. They only have a couple, like the wedding and the baptism. They need the ones that you talk about as well. But then I, with all charity to your church, you know, if your message was given by Pope Francis or by other bishops and throughout the higher echelon of the church, I don't think you would be suffering so much. The churches would be closing. It's such a tragedy that your churches and schools are closing, because you are the history of the church. Is you are the hospitals, you are the churches. And when I see Vanderbilt, you know, the College of Vanderbilt, you know, with different crazy issues there, and other Catholic colleges that just are so opposite from what you spoke about and what church really truly stands for.
Well, you know, Bob, it is a suffering church, you know, and we talk about in the Catholic Church that those of us, you know, that are the church militant, and by that I mean the church that is fighting the good fight on earth, right? We're on that pilgrim journey to heaven, and so we're working it out with the grace of God and applying that grace to our lives. So the church militant, you know, we talk about it being the mystical body of Christ, and so we're all joined in that. The church, of course, is the church that Jesus Christ founded, the Catholic Church. And so in this moment, you know, I use that analogy of Hurricane Ian to the reality that sometimes is the truth about our own heart, that you know, the hurricane of sin blows through our heart and causes destruction to our relationship with God. And ultimately, when our relationship with God is severed, then we experience the reality of that. The dysfunction that we see in families is a result of that. A questioning of biological realities is a result of that. The license for perverted forms of behaviors is a result of that. So we see all of that. We see, you know, that when sin reigns within our heart, that there is this complete destruction that takes place, and our society is suffering today. And so our church is made up of individuals from this society. So our church is suffering today. And I like to use the analogy here of the fact that, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. We're watching the passion of our Lord playing out in his mystical body. We're watching the passion of our Lord being played out in his church, often because of the sin of weak individuals. But here's the good news about that, Bob, you know, and I think that this is what we as Catholics need to cling on to. This is not the first bout of this kind of a thing that we've had in the church. The church throughout her history at different periods in time suffered greatly underneath the scourge of sin being lived out in the lives of its clerics as well as in the lives of its faithful, its lay faithful. And yet, in all these years, think about this, in all these years, the church remains. And it's really, I think, a fulfillment of Jesus' words when he said, and when he founded his church, and he says to Peter, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her." Now, Jesus did not say, Yeah, and let me just finish my thought here. And yes, then of course I want you to respond. And the gates of hell has tried to prevail against her. And how does that happen? It happens through the imperfection of man, and that imperfection leading to sin, and that sin being experienced. But the church will remain. The church will remain. I hope to gosh we do see this, you know, in our lifetime. We may or we may not, but we, to the extent that we remain faithful, to that extent does the flame of truth continue to pour out light, and does it continue to light up people's lives? So go ahead there.
No, I agree with what you said, that, you know, Peter's the rock and you're the church, and, you know, I hold maybe the I don't know that much theology, but I hold the Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, where you were together at one time there.
Yes.
They're the true church, too, you know. You started together, you separated later, but...
Oh, yes, and hopefully that will be reconciled. That was John Paul II's hope.
A little outside of that, because I'm not Catholic, but if this is my observation, and it's with charity and love, really.
Sure.
Is that the couple of things that I see that, I think the Protestants need you, and you need the Protestants. I mean, the manifestation... Like when you look at maybe a Lakewood church, you know, and you see the people all zealous for Jesus and talking about Jesus. When I go to certain Catholic events, you know, it's not always Jesus and it's not always Mary. But maybe one of the reasons why, with all charity again, is that Mary is the Mother of God, and she's the blessed. She's called blessed of all women in the whole world ever, you know. So, but at the same time, if you want to get to that relationship with Jesus back into your church, if you had pronounced Jesus and talked about Jesus as much as you talk about Mary, okay, then Jesus' lips would be on the lips and the minds of the people, from the pulpit, I'm saying. If you kind of get outside your church, you look at the Protestant church, how they talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And the last thing...
Well, hold your last, Bob. Let me just ask you. Hold your last thing, because you hear that music. We have to go to a hard break here, so we're going to go to that break. We'll come back, and then you can give us the last thing when we come back on the other side of the break. So if you'll be patient and hold on there, I'll be eager to hear what you have to say. And friends, we want to hear what you have to say. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to stay with us. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Also available for your comments. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today, and I am very eager to hear from you. Let me give you the toll-free number that you can use here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Like I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. They're all open for you, except for one. We've got Bob on the phone there in Springfield, Massachusetts, and we're going to go right back to him in just a second. But I do want to remind you that we are also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can use the chat feature there to put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. So Bob was talking with us a little bit about the event, the family celebration that took place there in Phoenix, Arizona last weekend, and many of you attended in person. We had thousands of you there in person, but we also had thousands of you via the YouTube stream, and we want to know how it impacted you, what your thoughts were about that. I'd be very curious to know. And also, too, if you've been on a retreat and had a very powerful experience there, we'll take that experience as well. So we'll take it either way. We'll take it out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page, or we'll take it via the telephone. Do call us 833-288-EWTN. Matt Gubensky, who was with us out there, is back in the studio there. And we've got Rich Jesse in for Jeff Burson. Michael McCall is doing our beautiful, beautiful social media today. So let's go back to Bob. He has another point he wants to make. Go ahead there, Bob.
Hey, yes, thanks again. So before I get to my point, I just want to, I've never met you, but I would tell your audience to said, I'm giving you a plug. You have to listen to her testimony and her speech. If you weren't there, if you didn't hear it, you have to listen to it. Google it, YouTube it, whatever. You have to do it again. You got to get that tape, okay? Because it's awesome. She was awesome.
Well, thank you, Bob. May God be praised for that.
Yeah, oh, praise God. I mean, it just made me feel so good. And actually, I told my friend I'm going to listen to that every week, once a week for the next few weeks. I'm going to be listening to that same tape over and over again because I need that inspiration and the assurance that you give. And periodically, I check in with you, and I listen to you as well. And you're always an inspiration.
No, but thank you, Bob. May God be praised for that.
With what I want to finish up with is
that
I love the Blessed Mother because I tell my Protestant friends, Mary does what the Holy Spirit does. Mary magnifies Jesus.
That's right.
She magnifies Jesus. So she does the same thing the Holy Spirit does. That was her life, was to magnify Christ. But Christ is not here anymore. He is here through the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is here for us. So that the bishops and the priests have to talk about the Holy Spirit, getting back to your charismatic groups. That's where people are getting saved from Protestants. Unfortunately, with all charity to the bishops, when I go to confirmations, they lay hands on those children, and they don't impart the Holy Spirit. With all charity, some of them don't have the Holy Spirit to give the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, Bob, how can you say that? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and I see him living in you. And I don't see him living in this person and that person. And you look at a person, and this person doesn't have God. And when you go to a Catholic convention, they can't have a hard time talking about Jesus. How alive are they? That manifestation that one of your speakers spoke about as an issue. And many of your great, speakers were born again before they became Catholic. And then they found the church, So my thing is just focus on the Holy Spirit and Jesus, of course. And I love you guys, and I'll be listening to you more.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate your call today, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. I do want to say that I think that you're just a couple of things in response to what you said. I'm so glad that you see Mary as being filled with the Holy Spirit because she is. And of course, that's what the angel tells her, when he salutes her and greets her, Hail Mary. The Lord is with thee, right? And the Lord is there by way of the Holy Spirit. So even before that overshadowing, the Spirit was already alive in our Blessed Lady. And if you go back into our church theology, how did that happen? Well, it really happened at the moment that she was conceived in the womb of Saint Anne through preservative redemption. God, who was outside of time and place, was able to take the merits of the cross of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and apply that to Mary, that she would be the perfect and fit tabernacle, that she would be the Ark of the Covenant, that the old Ark of the Covenant was signifying, right? That she would carry the one who is the fulfillment of the manna, the one who is the fulfillment of mercy and justice, and the one who is who gives us, the fulfillment of the law, as Jesus tells us. He didn't come to renounce it, or to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. God is already with Our Lady, but now comes this power of the Holy Spirit upon her that is so strong and so powerful that the second person of the Blessed Trinity is conceived within her. And I would say analogous to that, we're all meant to have this moment of overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, where as Mary conceived Jesus in her womb, we conceive Jesus in our hearts, right? And so, that comes to us through the sacramental structure of the church. You mentioned one of the sacraments that we have in common, and that is the sacrament of baptism. So that grace is there. And what the charismatic renewal is about is just stirring up what's already dormant within us, that it might have life and it might have expression in us. Now, I will say that, you know, the charismatic renewal is one way in which that happens, and it's a very profound way. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given to the apostles at that moment of overshadowing on that first Pentecost, when Jesus said, you know, go back to the upper room and stay there and wait, and I'm going to send the Paraclete, and, you know, Paraclete's going to bring to your mind all things that you need to know. And, you know, and that's when they began to display the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are available to us today if we open our hearts to receive them. But I do want to say this, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that there are many innovatios, many infillings of the Holy Spirit. Each time we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord through the Eucharist, you know, we are receiving the totality of Jesus. You know, we're receiving the totality of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. What it takes now is a receptivity of heart. It takes a relinquishing of self. It takes an acknowledgement of the gift that we're receiving. And so there's lots of ways in which that power can be released within us. And we do need that today. Now, as far as the confirmation, that sacrament, that is meant to strengthen that which we received in baptism. And with that, then, to ignite those gifts. And I'll agree with you on one point, Bob. I think that we within the church have really lost sight of the essence and the fullness of that sacrament of confirmation, and we've relegated it to a time. Well, okay, so now this person that's coming before us is of an age where they can receive Jesus for himself. Well, no, they already received Jesus. They already received the Holy Spirit at the moment of baptism. This is meant to strengthen that, and I would like to see more emphasis on those gifts and the original meaning of what the sacrament of confirmation was about, to be restored to that sacrament. Now, the bishop, he does impart the Holy Spirit. That happens. But again, what it takes, Bob, is an understanding of what's taking place, and an intellectual acknowledgement of that, a faith, an expression of faith in that, firm assurance in things hidden. We don't see it, but it's there, an acknowledgement of that, and then an asking of the Lord to help us to cooperate with that grace that we've received, so that we can experience that fullness. And I think that this charismatic renewal that started in 1967, everything by God is so intentional and he knows what's going to happen. So I think that renewal was a preparation for that. And I pray that we begin to see more of that coming forth, because I do think that there is a power, obviously, that can be ignited upon the face of the earth. That's what Jesus says. So, you know, we preach the truth. Now, Mary, and I got to say this, you know, Mary is the way by which Jesus came into the world. God didn't need to bring his son by way of a woman, but he did. Galatians tells us that, you know, in the fullness of time, God sent his son by way of the woman. So here's Our Lady, right? What are we to think? Our mother is never going to take us anywhere but to her son. If we have any devotion to Our Lady that does not take us to Jesus, it's a false devotion to Our Lady. Our Lady's mission, and her mission in time, and her mission and now from eternity, her mission is always to lead us to her son. And I can only tell you, Bob, from my own experience, that our Blessed Mother, she has been a spiritual mother to me. She's tutored me, not in her ways. She's tutored me in the ways of her son. When I go to Our Lady, I say, Mother, take me to your son. You know, show me, Mother. Show me what it is that I cannot see in reference to him. And I find that you know, immediately, you know, my heart is filled with love for him, a deepening love, a deepening expression, a deeper understanding, and my faith in him, my trust in him has flourished by way of her. So Mary doesn't lead us to herself. And I want to say that for all of you listening today, if you have a devotion and you do not ultimately arrive at our Lord, if you have a devotion to Our Lady and you are not more in love with Jesus than you've ever been before, it's a false devotion to her. So Bob, I agree with you. Mary would not want the emphasis on her, but not to receive her is the gift that God intends for her to be in our life is kind of like saying to the Lord, well, I don't want this gift. I'll take all of these other gifts. I'll take all of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, but Mary, put over here. Mary always takes us to her son. Always, always, always. So I would encourage all of you, you know, when you pray that Hail Mary, what are we doing? We're asking our mother to lead us to her son. And if we're not doing that, well, we're in trouble. So, Bob, thank you so much for your call. And I appreciate you so much. And thank you for your very kind words. And may God be praised for all that was accomplished this weekend in all of its many ways. And may we all live the life of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Mary is most conformed to him among all creatures, and she can aid us and take us there. Let's get to Larry. Larry is in Central PA today, and Larry, I'm so happy you are with us. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And you're listening to us through Holy Family Catholic Radio, and we're happy about that.
Yep, 7:20 a.m.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, so you had mentioned about if you had an experience at a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So this was quite a while ago. Almost 30 years, but, and you have to forgive me if I get emotional because I can't help but have that happen when I talk about this. So I'm second to the youngest of 8 kids. I saw a couple of my older brothers put my parents through a lot of pain and heartache. I had 2 sons, 4 months and 2 years and 4 months. And I thought, I had this heaviness on my heart. God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to raise these kids. I don't want to screw this up. We're getting ready for church up in the mountains, and a thought popped in my head. You want to have, or raise them on a foundation of me, and I'll be with them forever. So we went to church. And I picked up a bulletin on the way out of the church. St. Joseph holding the baby Jesus, the verse from Malachi. Fathers will turn their hearts to their children, and children will turn their hearts to their father. It was a men's retreat. And the theme of the retreat was fatherhood. And I went to this retreat, and on the way up there, I had all this apprehension, thinking, this is stupid. What are you wasting your time for? This is, why are you wasting your time, you know? And a guy greeted me in the parking lot. There was a chapel. There's a Catholic charismatic group, and they were singing prayer and praise. And I heard the sound of these men, and I thought I'd never heard men sound so beautiful before. And I had this peace come over me. I went into the chapel. A guy smiled and handed me a songbook. I closed my eyes. I said, God, I don't know why you brought me here, but I believe you brought me here for a reason. I felt my chest expand and this love come over me. The power of the Holy Spirit was incredible. So I was changed. There was a man at that retreat, Tony Stelp. He's gone to God now, but he took me under his wing. He told me of his conversion experience. He parked his delivery truck along the Susquehanna River. There was birds flying up and down the river. He thought, God, if this was you I experienced, let the bird come to me. A bird came and hovered in his face, flew off. He thought, no, that just didn't happen. If it was you, please let it happen again. Another bird came, hovered in his face, and flew off. So I'm driving home from this retreat, and I thought, Philadelphia Phillies are on. Bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, 1 man on base, Charlie Hayes up the bat. I thought, God, if this was you I experienced, let Charlie Hayes hit a home run. The thought was no sooner out of my mind. Charlie Hayes hit a home run. I had tears streaming down my face. I got home. I wasn't home a half an hour. My wife said to me, what happened to you? It was the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. So I just thought I'd relate that story to you.
Well, Larry, I got to tell you, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story this is. What an amazing God we have. I mean, he honors our requests so that we might be led to him. And, you know, the thing of it is, you asked for that sign and he gave you that sign. God doesn't always give us those signs. Sometimes he expects for us to just, you know, move in the knowledge of the fact that he is there with us. But when you share stories like that with others, it helps for them, whether they've had a sign or not, to know that this God hears every prayer that we pray. And he will make haste to help us. And this God always knows exactly the right moment to fulfill a prayer. And for you, it was in that moment. And I think there's so much about this experience that I think is so necessary today. The fact that you loved your children so much that you wanted to be a man of God, that you might raise him, that raise them according to him. You know, the humility of heart that that takes, as opposed to a false bravado that says, oh, I can do this on my own. No. And we need more fathers like you today. And I hope that you're listening today, my dear friend, and you're hearing Larry's story and you're saying to yourself, this is what I need. This is what I need in my parenting. This is what I need. I need God in my parenting. I need God in my life to come to full stature in Christ Jesus, to be the man that God's created me to be that father to my children, that husband to my wife, and that sign of contradiction in this world today where so many men do not know what it means to be a man. And I just want to say, Larry, that when you talk about this power of the Holy Spirit and this coming upon you, yes, that's exactly what I was alluding to earlier, that we're all meant to have that a moment of annunciation in our life. Sometimes that annunciation moment is very dramatic, like for you, where the Holy Spirit overshadows us and something is given to us, you know, something takes place within us. We conceive Jesus in the womb of our heart and life changes so much so that it's noticeable. And you said that when you came in, your wife said, what happened to you? She could see the Holy Spirit in you. You, like Our Lady, magnified the Lord, right? You magnified the Lord. And when we allow ourselves to be open to that power and might of the Holy Spirit through an act of humility, saying, you are God and I am not. I need you, Lord. You don't need me. And I cry out for you in this moment. We are open to that moment of surrender and that acknowledgement of who he is and who we are, then we begin to experience this new creation that God creates us to be. God wants us to be. God desires that we become. And I can only tell you that, you know, obviously that was a very, very authentic moment and a great metanoia, a great change of heart. And, you know, this kind of a change of heart, my dear friend listening at this moment, that kind of a change of heart doesn't mean that you were living a dastardly life before and suddenly, you know, you've got that kind of a thing. No, a conversion of heart means that we continuously turn away from that which leads to our destruction to that which brings us to that which brings us truth, to that which begins to build within us this city of God, like we call Our Lady the City of God, begins to build in an analogous way the city of God within us. Larry, thank you for that story. Really amazing. And the fact that it chokes you up, you know, that, you know, even that is like a type of new infilling, right? In the retelling. In the retelling, it is experienced again. It's a Zokar moment. It's God intersecting time once again with a new power and a new grace. Thank you, Larry.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. What a beautiful story. And I see, you know, sometimes these things are very dramatic. Sometimes they take place in the moment. For Larry, it took place in the moment. Sometimes it unfolds gradually over time. And I tell people who go on retreat, you know, everybody here, you said yes to the Lord to be here. Whether you came and you think it was because of advertising or you think it was because, you know, your friend said you were going to go with and invited you. It doesn't really matter. It was really the Holy Spirit calling you to that moment. And this God of ours is a very intentional God. He's a very deliberate God. He doesn't call us to a moment without the intention of giving us a blessing that we didn't have before we arrived at that moment. And so the point of it is that God gives us blessing. And I tell people on retreat, look for that blessing. Look for that blessing. It's coming. It's there. And so sometimes what we need to do is to be very attentive to how it is that God's blessing us. Sometimes it comes maybe not in the moment of the delivery of a word, but maybe it comes after that. I had a moment like that at the family celebration this past weekend. This is in the 11th hour. You know, things are just about to shut down. Everybody's gone. I had three beautiful women that approached me. And I hope they don't mind me sharing this story. And, you know, and they came up and they were talking about, you know, all that had happened through the course of the weekend. And I just felt prompted to share two things with them. And I shared the first thing with them and they nodded, yes. And then I shared the second thing with them. And one of the ladies burst into tears. And she said, that's exactly, I needed to hear those words. I needed to hear those words. And I took her into my arms and she wept on my shoulder. And I knew in that moment that this was why God brought her. God brought her to hear that word. And I didn't know why the Lord was putting that word on my heart, but I felt, you know, compelled to share that word with her, with these three women. But she was the one who needed to hear that word. And she did receive it. See, and then it was a new moment in the Lord. And if we have attentive ears, this is why I was saying to you, keep the ears of your soul open. Keep the eyes of your soul open that you might see, that you might hear what it is that God wants to do in you. One word can change you. I remember years ago, my own experience with that. First charismatic conference, Babsy Bleasdale speaks a word. It was like every word she spoke was a sword in my heart that opened me up more and more to the Lord. And I raced up there and I told her all about it. Be open to the movements of grace that are happening right this very moment. They're all around you. Just be attentive to them. See and taste that the Lord is good. He wants you to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him by fulfilling who it is that He's called you to be, so that you might spend all eternity with Him in heaven. It's been great being with you today. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time for Women of Grace Live, brought to you by EWTN Radio and all of the great affiliates out there, Sirius XM, and many, many other platforms. So we love you a bunch. Love us back. God bless you. Bye-bye.